Ah, yes. Let's get to work here indeed. Hello and welcome once again to Article 5 Live. We're here. It is December the 6th, 2020. And we're coming to you live from the radio bunker somewhere in the formerly great state of Arizona. I'm JD, your host. Thanks for joining us this fine Sunday evening. My, oh, my, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly do have a mess on our hands, do we not? You know, I was listening to the radio when I was coming down the hill this evening, the big hill here in Arizona, coming down from the mountains. And I got to say, the hubris of the mainstream media, even on the talk radio stations, is shocking. The absolute will to ignore the Constitution of the United States and how presidents are picked. I guess the media is convinced that they pick the president and that there's no such thing as a constitutional process on which we go through to pick our president. That's what the media thinks, I guess. Or it's a coordinated effort to completely eliminate any possibility that the president can fight by putting so much pressure on it, so many people thinking that it's a foregone conclusion that Biden has cheated enough to win this election, that all of us are just supposed to dry up and go away and give up. Okay? Not going to happen, folks. Now, many of you have been watching Newsmax, as I have. And if you've been watching the Salcedo show, you probably listened to Professor Eastman. Professor Eastman has been deciphering some of the details of what happens in this process, which is rarely visited when we get into these many details about choosing the president. And there's been a big hullabaloo about the Safe Harbor Day, okay? Oh, my goodness, Safe Harbor Day, that's 2 days from now, right? Well, Safe Harbor Day is the day that if there was a contested legislation prior to the election, that is a very key point, contested election prior to contested legislation prior to the election, if it's resolved before December 8th, then the slate of electors is locked in. So it means the opposite, basically, of what the news media wants you to think it means. Really doesn't have a whole lot to do with election fraud, okay? So the Safe Harbor Day is BS, number one. Number two, the Eastman also cleared up what happens if we get into a position where we are out of options. The state legislatures have plenary power to select the electors. That is irrespective of state constitutions, irrespective of legislation that has delegated this authority to the Secretary of State and the governor. None of that crap matters. I see Nathan says the Ducey stabbed Trump in the back by certifying the election. Listen, Ducey can only get away with that here in Arizona if the state legislature allows it. The state legislature is saying, oh, Ducey won't call us into session. Guess what, boys and girls? You don't need Governor Ducey to call you into session. You don't need two-thirds of the body to call yourself. You need a simple majority. Why? Because you have plenary power to pick the electors for the Electoral College, according to the Article 2, Section 1.2 of the United States Constitution gives you that plenary power. You in the state legislature. Stop the BS excuses. Ducey won't give us a special session. Ducey doesn't need to give you a special session. You need a simple majority to call your own special session. And irrespective of what's in the state constitution, when it comes to the slate of electors, the authority given to you by Article 2 of the United States Constitution completely trumps anything else. So stop it with the excuses. Arizona state legislature and other states are pulling the same crap because they don't want to be responsible and they want to try and stop your wrath, okay? Because they won't do anything about this fraudulent election. Why? Because it's their honeypot too. If you think the Republicans are innocent in this voter scam stuff that's been going on for nearly 20 years, you're sadly mistaken. Both sides use what we used to call fraction magic. They're calling it all kinds of other things now. It's all the same crap. They go in there and flip-flop the votes. That wasn't even enough in this election. As you know, they used every single which way that you can cheat an election. It was done in this election. So we hope the Supreme Court will do the right thing. The other week, the justices were rearranged so that they preside over the districts in which the swing states are at, the conservative justices. That could mean one of two things, and I can't tell you which it is. It could mean they want to hear it and they're going to be fair. And since they're originalists of the Constitution, so we're told by the conservatives, then there's a possibility that they would rule fairly and overturn the fraudulent election or discount the electoral vote so that it goes to the House. The other possibility, the reason they might have moved those conservatives around to the swing states is so that when they don't hear the case for Trump, it gives them plausible deniability. So then the mainstream media can go out there and say, well, even the conservative justices of the Supreme Court thought that there was no there, and thereby give cover to all the criminals that are in on the steal. I hope it's not the latter. I hope it's the first thing that I said. I don't know. I have no faith in the Supreme Court. So there is some hope yet because we do have people like Steve Pachinik swearing it's 100% done deal. Trump's going to be the next president again. And we also have General Flynn. And if you think about General Flynn, here's a guy that was head of the Army intelligence for many years. He does know where the bodies are buried. And he says Trump's going to be the president 100% the next time. So we do have guys that have a lot more access to inside information than you and I do saying that Trump's going to be the next president. So there's that. The other thing we have is even if the Supreme Court completely fails us, all the other courts fail us, all the state legislatures fail us, there's still one more chance to make things right. Because the Congress does not have to certify a slate of electors when they from the Congress can on January 6th can refuse to certify the slate of electors from the states that have those problems. And if they do that in enough states and neither of the candidates can get 270 electors, then it reverts to a vote of the House of Representatives, picks the president, and it's one vote, one state, in which case Donald Trump will be president for four more years. So there is hope, you guys, even though they're trying to get us to think that there's no hope whatsoever. The problem with all of our, you know, we're presenting all these facts, or they cheated, they did this wrong, they did that. Nobody cares. We, the people, care. Donald J. Trump cares. A dozen people or so in D.C. that are backing Trump care. Maybe a handful of Republicans care. Everybody else not only doesn't care, they don't want Trump to be the president again, whether they have an R after the name or a D after the name. They don't want Trump because Trump means trouble for them. Because Trump's going to, he's going to turn over all the, he's going to flip over, he's going to ruin their goose that laid the golden egg, and they know it. So it's you and I, my good folks, we the people of this great country that know what's going on, and the president against the rest of the dirty, rotten cowardices, the traitorous bastards, and the criminals, and the pedophiles, and all of the stinking, filthy, devil-worshipping pieces of crap that have that we've allowed to take control over our government over the past few decades, or maybe even before that. But it's happened kind of gradually, and then we finally got sick of it. And, you know, we finally got sick of it and put Trump in there to do something about it. And I think some people have buyer's remorse there because, you know, ignorance is bliss. When the corruption is the majority position and the virtue is the minority position as to our government and the people that control things, that's a scary situation indeed, because the rule of law means nothing to these jerk asses. So if we're going to retain our republic, or better put, if we're going to regain our republic, we either have to have divine providence, or we have to take it back by force, or both. Because it's not going to happen just because we have a constitution and we have the rule of law and we're supposed to go by that. Because both parties take the constitution, tear it up, and wipe their asses with it. They've been doing it for decades. So don't expect these jerks to do the right thing without us threatening them. And I don't mean physically or violently. We have to somehow, peaceably, nonviolently, put the fear of God into these people that have the control to make this election right. Because let me warn you this. If we do not do that, and this election goes to Joe Biden, many, 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 many lives are going to be lost. Because the patriots of this nation will not stand for this election to be stolen. So, if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris steal the White House from President Trump, that'll be the epitome of a Pyrrhic victory for them. Because not only will they destroy themselves, they will destroy their party, they will destroy the peace, and they will, it'll be way uglier than the riots that'll happen when Trump regains the White House. There's no good way here, because there's too many crooks, there's too many criminals. So it is a problem, and there's no precedent to rehold the election on a nationwide basis, really. There's too much of it. I mean, there's been individual elections that have been, you know, revoted. That's not going to happen. The way Trump retains the White House is a vote of the House of Representatives picking the president because neither candidate got 270 because the election's been voided. There's no time. There's no time to re-up the election and all that kind of stuff. There's constitutional deadlines. They have to be met. So, how many of you caught the rally last night over there in Georgia, President Trump? We needed that. It was really good to see him out there in his element, doing his thing, proving his point. Back in those two milquetoast Republican senators in Georgia, backing them wholeheartedly, cheering the people of Georgia to go out and vote in spite of what my friend said. That's the greatest thing he ever did. He went up there and says, my friends say don't vote. Don't listen to them. Trump is so awesome because he knows what's up. You know, he knows. And you know, Lynn Wood, and particularly Lynn Wood, he got too emotional, you know, last week in Georgia and saying, oh, don't even go vote. Why should we reward these Republicans? They're not here. You know, that's fine to get all self-aggrandizing and all bent out of shape and give the Senate to the freaking Democrats. No. Even, let me tell you, as inept as the Republicans are, we still have to maintain control, if for no other reason, just to make sure that the Democrats don't get control and add a couple of states and pack the court and immediately get rid of the filibuster so they can pass all kinds of damage that will be almost impossible to undo, okay? So we have to, the people of Georgia have to go out and put those two milquetoast Republicans back in there. Yeah, it has to happen. And Trump went out there last night and said exactly what he should say. He was, you know, I saw all the reviews, but before I heard all the reviews of a people on our side that thought he did a great job, I knew he did a great job. He did exactly what he needed to do. His speech from inside the White House earlier last week was perfect as well, where he had the charts and graphs and all that stuff. Absolutely. Because the message in the news media is not getting out there unless you, one of the million people, and only a million in the whole week, that watches Newsmax, you're not hearing the stuff unless you go to Bandot Video, unless you, you know, you're following Alex and Owen and those guys, you're not getting the truth. I mean, there's some people out there, but if you're a Fox News watcher or any of these other stuff, you're not getting the truth. Now, One America News Network, Right Side Broadcasting, is doing a lot of covering. Now Mike Lindell has jumped on board with Right Side and is a major sponsor for them. So they're not going to go away anytime soon. That's great because they're covering all these hearings in the states where the news media won't do it because they don't want you to know that Trump is fighting back and winning these battles. If anybody would pay attention to logic, he's winning the battles, but they don't want you to see that stuff. But here's something, if you haven't seen it, is a little bit interesting. If this is a CNN report, I want you guys to check this out. This is interesting, okay? Check this CNN report out. Now, the reason you guys probably already know this stuff, but I want you to realize this is coming from CNN, okay? Check this out.
Antonio Mujica and his partner Alfredo Anzola received a small business loan from the Venezuelan government only months before the recall election. These corporate registration documents from Venezuela show the Venezuelan government owned 28% of the stock of another company they started, Bizta, which adapted voting software for the Smartmatic machines in the 2004 elections. The same document shows a Chavez government minister, Omar Montillo, was on the board of directors. The Chavez government gave Bizta, Smartmatic, and another company a $91 million contract to run voting machines for the 2004 election. The next year, the owners of Smartmatic, primarily owned by Venezuelan businessmen, bought Sequoia, one of the top electronic voting system companies in the United States, for $16 million. Smartmatic is a labyrinth of international holding companies owned by Venezuelan businessmen. Smartmatic Group NV of Curaçao, Netherlands Antilles owns Smartmatic International BV of Amsterdam, Netherlands, owns Smartmatic Corporation of Florida, which bought Sequoia Voting Systems of California, USA. When Smartmatic bought the U.S. voting machine companies, the U.S. government did not review the sale. Many experts say those voting machines were manipulated in Venezuela to give President Hugo Chavez a victory. Exit polls done by the U.S. firm Penn Schoen in Berlin had Chavez losing 41% to 59%. But the next day, Chavez declared victory, reversing the score, saying he won 59% of the vote.
Everything was computed in the favor of the government. So the only explanation is that the Smartmatic machines had been programmed in that way.
A Harvard mathematician crunched the numbers on the Venezuelan election.
It had to be the Smartmatic system. All these machines talk to a central computer and report on their results. And in that mechanism, as they communicate with the center, the central machine can report anything.
Smartmatic is technically based in Boca Raton, Florida, but the president of the company, Jack Blaine, testified to the Chicago City Council. Fewer than a dozen Smartmatic employees work in Florida. The majority of the workers are based in Venezuela.
Now, admittedly, my good friends, that report was probably from 2006. But here's the thing. CNN used to be a source of news. You know, they were actually complaining about how that might... Now, what's amazing about that is that's the same systems we're using all over the country now. In the United States of America. And for the exact same reason Hugo Chavez wanted to use them. It does not take a genius to figure this stuff out, my good friends. You all, I'm not bringing anything new, which I regret. So I do want to go over a few things about how the founders envisioned things when at the founding of the country, because it's important to remember we now have a press that is in the business of covering up crimes of the government. Now, this is an exact inversion of the purpose of the Freedom of the Press Clause in the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Freedom of the press in the First Amendment is so the press can expose corruption in the government. Instead, they're using that clause to hide corruption in the government. This is something that has to be addressed on an amendment level. There has to be some form of responsibility that if you call yourself a deliverer of news and you call yourself a news journalist or a reporter or something, there has to be a standard set. You can't just lie about everything. You can't just not report on everything that you don't want to. Somehow we have to come up with a way to cause these people to be responsible watchdogs of the government. And I don't mean just the Democrats. Let's have them watch the Republicans too. And let me tell you something else. If I thought for 1 second that Donald Trump actually lost this election, I would be the first one to say, hey, let's get them next time. Let's get them in, you know, 2024. But there's no way. There is no way that he lost this election. And everybody knows it. Half the Democrats I know are hopping mad about this. So, I don't know how this stands the way it is. And we don't have mass violence in the streets. Maybe not in the streets, because it might be organized enough. The people that are willing to take action and throw off this tyrannical government are trained, let's say, and they may go after the head of the snake first. So I don't think it'll happen in the streets. They'll go after the leadership of the criminals. That's what's going to happen. So the people that have orchestrated and perpetrated this fraud on the American public, the ones that organized it, the ones that are responsible or will be the first ones to pay the price. Whether or not our own military does it under the direction of the Commander-in-Chief, Donald J. Trump, or whether we, the people, throw off the tyrannical government that stole the election. Whatever way it happened, it's going to happen. So you people that think you won, the best thing you could do is beg for forgiveness and bow out right now before it gets really bad. On another front, the COVID-19 lockdowns have accelerated across the country, across the world. Arrests are happening, fines are happening. Being met with that also is accelerating protests. People are starting to stand up. But I have to say, as I go around the public in the metro area, in the formerly great state of Arizona, I see 99% mask wearers. Everybody thinks that this vaccine is the panacea. Oh, we'll get back to normal. They're not going to let you get back to normal if you take their shot. This is only the beginning. They're never going to stop the lockdowns, the mask wearing, the shots in the arms. It's never going to stop, you guys, until we stop it. They're not going to stop. You should know that by now, because they said 15 days to stop the spread. Look where we are 9 months later. More lockdowns than ever. More restrictions than ever. Bill Gates out there saying you're going to have to take the multiple shots and this and that and the other. All the vaccines. Keep it boot. They'll be wanting you to take a shot every year, just like they do with the flu shot. And the doctors that are against this are silenced. They are fired. They are ostracized. They are threatened. Their families are threatened. Anybody that goes out and make any sense about this COVID crap is threatened. I don't know. It's so disheartening that people are so easily led astray. Yes, the latest thing about the vaccine is that it sterilizes women. Now, that shouldn't be any great surprise, those of you who are up on, you know, alternate sources of information. Because you know the reason for the shot is to alter your DNA and make you, let's say, compliant. Because eventually it will change your, basically, they're stealing your soul is what they're doing. They're making you a genetically modified organism. Because this, at least Gates' vaccine, will alter your DNA. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't taking that shit. It isn't a good old-fashioned vaccine with some of the virus and some, adjuvants in it to make your immune system have a response to that thing. The theory is to develop immunity to that virus. It isn't an old-fashioned type of thing like that. It's supposed to change. It's supposed to create the virus and the immune response by altering your... This is crazy stuff, you guys. This is stuff from... This is Frankenstein crap. I don't know if you want to put that stuff in your body. I know that I don't want to. And when I look at polls and people that comment on such things, I see it's about half and half. About half the people are ready to take that vaccine because they're scared to death of the COVID-19. Well, I ain't scared of the COVID-19. And I'm old and I'm fat. And I'm probably diabetic. And I'm not scared of the COVID-19. Now, of course, our chief soldier, our general in the war against the stolen election, Rudolph Giuliani, is now, of course, diagnosed with COVID-19 and is in quarantine in a hospital. We'll be lucky if they don't kill him. You know, the PCR test is not meant to quantify viral infections or any other kind of infection. So says the man who invented it. The public, the entire world's been sold on this idiotic PCR test as a way to find out whether you have COVID or not. A German court has ruled that 96% of the PCR positives are false positives. Of course, the United States media is not going to tell you that. I don't see a way out of this. People are too convinced. People are too convinced that wearing a mask is going to protect you and your neighbors. And getting a vaccine is going to make everything better. Everybody's convinced of this, or enough people are. I don't see a way to stop people from stop the madness. I don't see a way to stop the madness. I really don't. If you do, I'd like to know how we stop the madness. You know, because every time, you know, Laura Ingraham had a PhD, the guy had 5 different PhDs, virologist, microbiologist, PhD in microbiology is what the guy was. And he came on her show and said, don't take the vaccine. It'll be your doom. The guy said, it's your doom to take the vaccine. Don't listen to me. Listen to the guy who studies this stuff for a living. You want to listen to Anthony Fauci, the flim-flam man? That son of a bitch belongs in a carnival. That guy's a little hobgoblin, man. And Bill freaking Gates is our world doctor now. The guy who has went and said on TED Talks that the population of planet Earth needs to be reduced to 0%. So here's a guy who owns patents on the virus, patents on all the quote-unquote cures to the virus, and we're supposed to listen to him tell us that he wants to help us live longer. Meanwhile, he wants to reduce the population on planet Earth. Why anyone listens to Bill Gates is beyond me. It's about this stuff. He's kicked out of, what is it, 8-10 countries? Because of the vaccine he's distributing and is giving kids polio? Listen. If you think these people have your best interests at heart, you're sadly mistaken. The Davos Group, Klaus Schwab, has laid it out and admitted what this COVID crap is all about. It's all about the Great Reset. Everybody knows that now. The Great Reset. What is the Great Reset, you might ask? Well, they're going to take everything you own, make you stay in one little place, take your job, take your livelihood, take your property, and then they're going to give you a little bit of substance, just enough what they think you need to survive. And then they say you'll be much happier that way. That's the Great Reset. Yeah, everybody's saying, Agenda 2030. Yeah, it's all that stuff's true. All the stuff that Jones and company have been saying for decades, it turned out to be 100% what they're doing. Now, nobody wants to realize that Alex Jones, crazy-ass Alex Jones, screaming, yelling, all that kind of stuff, was telling you the truth. Nobody wants to hear that. But he is telling you the truth. He's the only one willing to spend the hours and hours and days and weeks and months studying all the stuff. You see, these people that are perpetrating this dystopia upon us are so arrogant and full of hubris, they print their plans. All you have to do is go to the Club of Rome. You can go to the Rockefeller Foundation. You can go to the Bilderberger Group. You can go to all these various globalist organizations and read the plan for you, for yourself. You don't have to listen to Alex if you don't like Alex. It's all out there. If you don't believe Alex Jones, get curious. Go out and look at this stuff yourself. It's all there. And all the things that they said they were going to do, they're doing. There was a little thing called Event 201 last October. Not this last, but two Octobers ago now. They war gamed a worldwide pandemic and what they're going to do about it. And how they're going to set up all the lockdowns and the 6-foot distancing and the mask and the whole crap. It's all wargamed out. It's all still on the internet. You can go check it out. A few months later, what happens? They implement that plan. So those that call this the plandemic are correct. What does worry me about this, now they've got everybody conditioned to do what they say. Lock yourself down, put your mask on, take these shots. What happens when they release a virus that will be really, really, really dangerous? COVID's bad enough, but it's really for the vast, vast majority of the population, it's negligible at best as far as going to kill you. 99.7% average across the board survivability. Now, as I understand it, that's right about at a bad flu season. So, what happens now that they've got the whole world conditioned, or at least Western civilization conditioned, to be locked down and subservient and wear your little masky your face diaper and do everything Anthony Fauci says and Bill Gates, your daddy, right? When they release one that really is dangerous, that does much more damage than the COVID virus. That's what worries me. And Bill Gates has said as much. He said, oh, COVID-19 is just a dry run. That may not be a quote, but that was the idea. So here's where we find ourselves, my good friends. Not in a very good position. They've stolen our election. They're trying to deny us our rightfully elected leader who wants to put you and me first, put America first, put our principles, our founding principles, and our Constitution to the forefront where it belongs. And I'm not saying Donald J. Trump is perfect, but man, he's the best president in my lifetime by miles. And I'm including Ronald Reagan in that. There's nothing wrong with Reagan, but it wasn't mean enough, to be honest with you. And Trump's not exactly mean. He's doesn't accept defeat, and he doesn't give a crap what you think about him, which is very important. You know, Reagan's main goal in life was to make sure everybody liked him. And then he leveraged that. Very clever. Not as effective as not giving a crap, whether you like him or not, though. Enter Donald J. Trump. And I would argue that Donald Trump is more effective than Ronald Reagan. Many of you might argue with me on that. But I think if you look at in terms of accomplishments, in number of accomplishments, in spite of opposition, I think Trump's one term tops Ronald Reagan's two terms, even though Ronald Reagan was a very accomplished president. So, my good friends, I do have another video. I want you to listen to Roger Stone. I want you to hear what he was telling Alex earlier in the week. So I'm going to play a little bit of this Roger Stone video. Let's check this out.
What we have here is, you're absolutely right, nothing short of a foreign governmental takeover of the United States. Let's go to that show where I said specifically, if there was overwhelming and compelling evidence of fraud, and it was connected to the voting system itself, which it has been, then the president would have to consider the 1807 insurrection law or martial law. Headline, Stone says if Trump loses, he should impose martial law. Not what I said. However, all the conditions that I did list in that article, Lynn Wood seems to believe that we have exceeded. And I think the president has to have all options on the table as to how he proceeds. The one thing he cannot do, Alex, is quit.
Welcome back. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Open the phones up next hour. Roger Stone is able to join us right now, and I really appreciate him coming on. It was in the London Guardian, the New York Times, Washington Post. It was in everything, CNN, back on September 15th. He came on the show, and he said they're going to steal Georgia, they're going to steal Nevada, they're going to steal Pennsylvania. Trump must have the Justice Department seize the servers when it's evident with the election fraud. Because they weren't certifying them. They were using decertified machines in the states they were in and that were decertified in other states. The evidence is monumental. Now you've got UPS drivers that were shipping in 300,000 ballots from another state. You've got the Chinese mailing in all these ballots for Biden, caught, confirmed. We've got computer scientists that saw people going in, putting thumb drives in illegally, taking it out, coming back and putting it in the central computer. That's illegal in Georgia and in Pennsylvania. They have the witnesses and the damn video. And the attorney general says no evidence that rises to the level of changing the election. What do you mean? 13,000 votes in Georgia. And Trump's within striking distance very easily in Pennsylvania. So Roger's here with us. He got lied about, exaggerated. He didn't call for martial law. It's Lynn Wood calling for limited martial law. We're already under globalist martial law. The blue cities and states already put us under lockdown. But this is a foreign takeover. This is fraud. And so I don't think Trump should even punt to the electors and the legislatures. I think he should go with the American people, resolute desk, show all this evidence, and say, stand with me, American people, say no to this. I know I'm going to D.C. on the 12th. I know I'm going to that event. And by the way, I'm taking that big march over. We started it before. These women hijacked it. Now they're saying it again. You can't even hear them on their microphone when 500,000 are there. I'll be there. We'll march to the White House. It's going to be great. I'll see you there. Nothing against those women. They cussed us out when I got up on the stage at the Supreme Court before they got there. I led the whole march there. 3 hours later, they show up. I'm up on the stage. She goes, F you. This is my event. Super funny. I'm not even worried about those little carpetbagging ladies. The whole point is that we're going. We're taking it over. It's going to be awesome. It's our event. They took over our last event. Now they heard we were doing the 12th. They said they're doing it again. It's fine. Thank you for organizing it, ladies. I'll be there taking over my event. But Roger Stone joins us. Thank you so much, Roger. Where are we? You predicted that they were going to steal it from Trump. You laid it out. Now Lynn Wood and others are saying that you were absolutely right. What's the next move?
Well, first of all, Alex, I think we're in a very, very crucial period here. I do think we as conservatives need to be careful not to form the firing squad in a circle. There's plenty of time down the road after we save this country for recriminations of those who were true patriots and those who only said they were. You and I know, having been under extreme pressure from the federal government, that the people who stick with you are your true friends, and the people who are nice to you when you could do something for them, they were never your friends. But right now, I think we have to put all differences aside, because what we have here is, you're absolutely right, nothing short of a foreign governmental takeover of the United States. Let's go to that show where I said specifically, if there was overwhelming and compelling evidence of fraud, and it was connected to the voting system itself, which it has been, then the president would have to consider the 1807 insurrection law or martial law. Headline, Stone says if Trump loses, he should impose martial law. Not what I said. However, all the conditions that I did list in that article, Lynn Wood seems to believe that we have exceeded. And I think the president has to have all options on the table as to how he proceeds. The one thing he cannot do, Alex, is quit. He has powerful forces arrayed against him. It is extraordinary. Let's call them the armies of the Pharaoh, the Pharaoh's armies. But this is God's nation. I believe he was selected for God for this job. I pray to God every day that he will not only quit, but he will be strengthened in his resolve to fight an epically corrupt deep state that has no problem in what appears to be the cyber manipulation of the votes of the American people. And here's the...
All right, let's hold it right there for a minute, and maybe we'll come back to that. I just want to say, some of you have commented on this martial law question and whether we should be done or not. It's interesting to note that Abraham Lincoln did that. He suspended habeas corpus, as many of you know. And arguably, Trump has more reasons to do it, to declare martial law and take control of things and suspend the election results and whatever needs to be done to arrest the traitors, the people that have sold us out to the Chinese Communist Party. And there's plenty of evidence mounting to just that. Those of you probably already know that Dominion Voting Systems is 75% owned by the CCP. Also, the Chinese Communist government infused Dominion voting systems with $400 million on October 7th of this year. Smoking gun? Well, I'd like to know if that's a smoking gun or not. You know, why is the Chinese government giving $500 million to the company that's counting our votes? That kind of don't seem like right to me. Does it to you? I think we have some problems there. Also, there's a couple of things that are interesting happening. Robert says the Pentagon has so far blocked meetings between the Biden transition team and officials with the intelligence agency that are part of the Department of Defense, according to two new reports. This is true. It's very interesting. And also, I would like to bring to light another interesting fact. Camel Toe Harris has not resigned her Senate seat. If she was so sure that she is vice president-elect of the United States of America, why hasn't she resigned her Senate seat? I think we all know the answer to that, because she's not sure. And she wants to remain in the Senate in case this whole scam goes south. And they're so arrogant, they think if it goes south, they're not going to go to jail. And maybe they won't. I don't know. Maybe they will. According to Steve Pachinik, they're all going to Guantanamo. He might be Q. Who knows? He's talking like Q lately. Well, maybe he is Q. I don't know, man. I wish I had the answers for you guys. But one thing I do have, I have a copy of the Constitution. And I'm going to read part of Article 2 for you in case, just to refresh your memories and all the BS that goes around about how elections work and how the Electoral College works. Here it is, Article 2 of the Constitution, Section 1, Paragraph 2. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. But no senator or representative or person holding an office or trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed as an elector. Paragraph 2. The electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for two persons, of whom one at least shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves, and they shall make a list of all the persons voted for and of the number of votes for each, which list they shall sign and certify and transmit sealed to the seat of the government of the United States, directed to the President of the Senate. The President of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes shall be the president, if such a number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed. That's a key sentence. If such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed. And if there be more than one who have such a majority and have an equal number of votes, then the House of Representatives shall immediately choose by ballot one of them for president. If no person have a majority, then from the five highest on the list, the said House shall in like manner choose the president. But in choosing the president, the vote shall be taken by states, the representative from each state having one vote. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of members from two-thirds of the states, and a majority of all the states shall be necessary to a choice. In every case, after the choice of the president, the person having the greatest number of votes of electors shall be the vice president. Well, that was changed by the 12th Amendment, as you know. But the keys there are, if no one has a majority of the electors that are eligible, in other words, the 270, then the House of Representatives chooses. Is it the House? Yeah. It says the House, right? Yeah, the said House shall in like manner choose the president. So the House of Representatives will choose the president of the United States if no president has 270 electors in this particular election. And they will do so with one state having one vote. And as you know, if it comes to that, President Trump will be will continue to be the president of the United States. Now, if we go to the 12th Amendment, the Constitution, the electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom, at least, shall not be an inhabitant of blah, 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 the same stuff as before. Let's see. The president of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all the certificates of the votes and shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president. If such a number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if no person has such a majority, then the person having the highest numbers, not exceeding 3, on the list of be voted for president. The House of Representatives shall choose immediately by ballot the president. Where is it what I'm looking for? Anyway, I read the Constitution. You'll be less confused by all the BS going on. The part of the second, Article 2, that gives the plenary power is the key. Because of the excuse that the legislatures of the several states are giving. Oh, the governor won't call a special session. Because we have laws that say the majority, the Secretary of State certifies the majority and the governor signs it and that's it. In other words, they've abdicated their responsibility through legislation to these inferior officers. In this case, the Secretary of State and the governor are inferior officers to the state legislature themselves because they have the responsibility, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, to choose the electors. Even if they legislate them off, that responsibility off to other parties, which has been done in this state and many other states. But that does not say that there's a Supreme Court case that says, makes it clear that if there's a problem with the execution of an election in that state, the state legislature can take that power to choose the electors back at any time. That's already been interpreted by the Supreme Court, even though they shouldn't have the right to interpret, but they do. You know, Marbury versus Madison, 1803, they big old power grab by the Supreme Court. It's not really constitutional, but it's what we do. Anyhow, one could argue that the Supreme Court has no role in the election of the president. If you want to get technical. How you doing, Peter Weeder? Thanks for joining us here on Article 5 Live. We're talking about election and stuff and politics and stuff. So if you're on there from Twitch, you welcome to our world. Anyhow, yes, I have a green can of pop. Is that cool or what? Anyway, so I want to tell you guys that the people in the media are full of crap. They don't get to choose the president. The Constitution, there's a process. We're trying to follow it in spite of the news. And there are, we may still be able to keep our president. Yeah, and another thing is, let's say the Supreme Court fails us, all the other courts fail us, all the state legislatures fail us, and they certify these fraudulent elections and send slates of electors for Joe Biden enough that 270 to the Congress of the United States. Let's say that happens. There is still one more fail-safe short of the Insurrection Act, and that is the Congress of the United States could actually not certify certain electors from certain states that are in question. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they vote on the they can bring that up, and they can vote on each state whether that state's electors get submitted into the count. One vote, one state in that vote as well. It doesn't have to be a majority of Congress. I don't know for sure on that because our system is quite complicated. And I study the hell out of it, and I still have questions. So, see, this is the problem, my good friends. We have a complicated government. We've been led to think it's very simple because the simple minds in the news media want you to think they simply get to choose the president with their horse race counts that gets fed to them by Dominion systems on election night. That's not reality. Our system is full of fail safes to stop a fraudulent election from becoming the result of the election. And we're living through that right now. Let me tell you, it's not easy, right? We're not very happy because we know the election was stolen. And it appears because the people that are supposed to be reporting responsibly on these things are lying to us or omitting the evidence. We have video of suitcase of fraudulent ballots being counted after all the observers are kicked out. And this has happened in more than one place. But we're supposed to say, oh, don't see anything here. And we're supposed to take this, right? If you're not pissed off, you're not even alive right now. More than half of the people I know that are Democrats are pissed off about this election. Because even if they voted for Biden, they do not want to win this way because they know this is bad for everybody. So back to the fact that the Congress could not certify some of the states' electoral slates, which could result in neither candidate getting 270, in which case they would immediately turn around and vote for the president. One state, one vote. Donald Trump continues to be president in that case as well. Let's say that fails. Then you have a space of time between January 6th and January 20th. That may be when the Constitution is suspended, martial law is instituted, the criminals are arrested, charged, and taken out of the country for a military tribunal, and we have another election. Could happen. Don't want to see that happen because that's going to get ugly. Because the sick leftists will really rebel against that one worse than if we just... we don't have to go down that road. But if that doesn't happen, the patriots of this country are not going to let this steal stand. I'm going to tell you that right now. Let me be a prophet for you. If they get away with this steal, and there's a faux nomination of the faux president, Joe Faux Biden, there's going to be big trouble, because that means our vote means nothing. This most sacred part of the American ethos, the American political ethos, the most sacred cornerstone of that is one man, one vote, or one woman, one vote. You know, if you want me to be politically correct about it. When that goes away, all of us people that call ourselves conservatives, I don't like the friggin' label, okay? Because although I am conservative, I don't want to be considered a conservative with some of these a-holes that call themselves conservatives, okay? I don't want to be associated with those assholes. I ain't that. I know what the hell I'm talking about. They don't. Anyway, you know what I mean. For the purpose of trying to communicate in modern parlance, I call myself a conservative, all right? In the same manner, I call myself Republican. I don't want to be associated with most Republicans. But I happen to know what that word means. I happen to know that the American Republic is our form of government. Therefore, I am a Republican. Which leads me to something I want to say about third party. There's a big group of wonderful people in my state that want to start a third party. Because we are powerless here in the state of Arizona because the Democrats are criminals and the Republicans are criminals and they gang up on the people and force us to have crappy candidates that won't do what we want. And the last two elections, they've allowed Dominion in here in Maricopa County and stole. Now Arizona's a blue state. There's more blue representation in Washington than there is red. For the first time in 60 or 80 years or something. It's a travesty. So because of that, a great bunch of people, many of them are my personal friends here in the state of Arizona and associates, want to start a third party. This is folly. And I'll simply say why I think that in two sentences, first of all. Anybody ever heard of the Bull Moose Party? How successful was that? Anybody heard the name Ross Perot? Yeah, he's the one that gave us Bill Clinton for president. That's what third parties do for us. The unfortunate reality is we are locked into a two-party system. There are only two parties that have any viability. There is no immediate way to change that. And any attempt to do it, you see, if we had two parties that we could live with, then out of those two parties, we could form a third party. But since it's life or death for us, literally, if we allow the Democrats to take everything, now is not the time to try and form a third party. No, what we need to do now that we have Donald Trump as president of the United States, he has transformed the Republican Party. Yes, the old actors are still there. We can cull these people. We can cull them out and put new Trump Republicans in the Republican Party, thereby reforming the Republican Party to be an actual party of the people. It's already started to happen. We get rid of these damn never-Trumping assholes out of there. We get real non-career politician people in the party. Gradually, we take back the Republican Party. This is how we save the Republic. This is how we regain the Republic, by revitalizing and rejuvenating the Republican Party, not by starting a third party. A third party means we all die. And I mean that quite literally. So, my good friends, we must put our energies into making the Republican Party the go-to position for everyone in this country. We're well on the way of doing that by electing Donald Trump. That's a great start. We get him in, we successfully back him so that he can regain the presidency again for four more years. We'll be halfway there at the end of those 4 years. We get another great Republican as a leader and more, and we have the Congress back with young, vibrant business people running the government. We've got it shot at restoring the Republic. We go third party, we lose. Every time, we will lose. Just like I warned Arizonans in the primary for the Senate, I said, McSally is going to lose. You must vote for Danny McCarthy. And maybe you did with Dominion, who knows? But according to the results, it was 2-1 against McCarthy for McSally. And Arizona is particularly stupid when it comes to their electorate and Republican Party. They always vote for the rhino rather than a challenger in you know, the Republican machine always backs the rhino, the McCainite, like McSally. And I already knew when McSally lost to the communist Kyrsten Sinema, there was no way in hell she was going to beat the astronaut. I told you guys that for months and months and months, years, actually. And I take no pleasure in being 100% right about that, okay? I didn't want that to happen. I wanted you to put Danny McCarthy in her. At least if he lost, I would know that Republicans are awake in the formerly great state of Arizona. Anyway, I didn't mean to make it about Arizona because all you guys aren't from Arizona. But Arizona is in the spotlight. Our 11 electoral votes matter this time. Our state was stolen by the Democrat cheat machine. Joe Biden went public, as you know, saying they built the biggest fraud organization in American political history. Sure as hell they did. He was telling the truth 100%. That's how arrogant they are. They tell you what they're going to do before they do it to you. We've been telling you on this broadcast and all the other broadcasts for a year now, they're going to steal this election. We were telling you they're going to steal it before COVID. So here we are at the precipice of revolution. It's actually a counter-revolutionary insurgency. There isn't even a word for it. We have to come up with a new word for what's going to happen because it's never happened quite from this angle before. We have domestic traitors sold us out to a foreign government. And the ones that see it happen don't have the courage to do anything about it because they're being threatened. Their families are being threatened. And the people that have the power to reverse the baleful results of all I just stated are reluctant because they're scared. They have no courage. They're either complicit, involved, or cowards. We have a few people with courage, such as Rudolph Giuliani. So they hit him with a positive COVID and effectively knocked him out of the game. He's probably fine. This is war, you guys. This is what war looks like in the 21st century. It's not about tanks and planes. It's about information, disinformation, psyops, agents provocateurs, red flags. This is the warfare of the 21st century. We're living through it right now. Stolen elections, electronic elections. Who ever heard of such a thing? You know me. I say 28th Amendment should be election day is election day. Starts on midnight, the first Tuesday of November. Ends on midnight, the first Wednesday of November. 24 hours. Election day is election day. You vote in person with a photo ID that you had to get by proving you're a citizen of the United States. You vote on a paper ballot. You get that gets counted by hand. Election day is a national holiday that you get paid for taking off. If you own a business, you quantify the business that would be lost by that day, and we, the taxpayer, write your business a check for that day. You let everybody go away. You close down. Everybody votes. But I want to go on vacation on election day. Good. Then you don't get the vote, idiot. Plan your vacation around election day. But JD, I'm in the United States military. There's your exception. You can vote. We'll count your absentee ballot. You have to request it. You have to prove who you are. We'll count your absentee ballot. But JD, I'm laid up. I can't get out to the polls. We'll certify that and get you an absentee ballot. Those are the only people. People that can't make it to the polls because they are disabled, and those that are in the United States military. Other than that, you don't get an absentee ballot or a mail-in ballot. Your ass has to show up at the polls with an ID that you got by proving you're a United States citizen. Furthermore, this is for federal elections. Every 2 years, the entire voter roll gets purged, and you must re-register every 2 years. And you must do that at least 30 days before election day, not election month. Paper ballots, hand count, re-register every 2 years, photo ID that you got by proving you're a citizen. You get paid for election day. It's a national holiday. Your business gets paid for that day if you close down. No excuses, no BS. Democrats would never win another election if we did that. That's why it'll never happen. Because Republicans don't really want to lead. They want the Democrats to be in control so that the Republicans can be the minority and whine about what the Democrats do and claim to be in opposition of it. Meanwhile, knowing they don't have to do a damn thing about it because they don't have the power because they're in the minority. The only way to change this, my friends, is to get real citizen legislators and staffs and cut down the deep state down to about, you know, a hundredth of the people that are not elected in the non-elected government. You know, keep one out of 100 just to keep things, some essential things running. Change out all the worthless legislature and all their staff. And outlaw lobbying. If you are ever in government, you don't get to be a lobbyist. Got to clean up the crap or the Republic will never be regained. You know, all right, let's put this up here. Robert's been giving us breaking and exclusive third suspect from State Farm Center suitcase scandal, identified as Ralph Jones Sr. He was in the news for shady deal with ATL Mayor Keisha Bottoms from the Gateway Pundit. Gateway Pundit is a great source of information. So is the National File. National File, you guys, was on the tip of my tongue. He's the reporter that broke the Biden stuff. You know, that's another thing. What I was talking about, the press doesn't want to report anything. They didn't want to report on the Hunter Biden stuff, and they want to report on Joe Biden being a Class A felon in the UK. Yeah, that's right, Robert. We need citizen legislators. When our founders envisioned a citizen legislature, meaning you go to Washington to serve for a while and then you go back home to what you really do for a living. None of this career politician crap. Although, it's hard to say that because once you get a good one in there, they're so few and far between, you want to keep them in that position. That's how desperate we are. But it shouldn't have to be that way, obviously. Ideally, it shouldn't. So anyway, I got to say, don't lose faith. You know, there's a great rally that was held in Alabama or Georgia yesterday. Wasn't just a rally, it was a fact you know, finding thing, a fact exposing thing, I should say. It's possible. It's more than possible. I'd put it at 80-20. I was for a while 80-20 against Trump retaining the office. Now I've flipped it. And I'm putting a lot of weight on what Steve Pachinik and Michael Flynn say, because these are guys that are connected to the intelligence. All the websites that say all the BS and all the Q crap and all that's fine. I don't know if it's true or I don't know it's true. I don't have any way of finding out whether it is or not. But why I put weight, 80 Trump's going to stay president in spite of all the stuff you hear, is because of guys like Michael Flynn, Steve Pachinik, Professor Eastman, willing to go out and tell you his interpretation of what the Constitution means. Well, it's not really his interpretation. He's citing Supreme Court precedent when he says what he is. So listen to Professor Eastman on Newsmax. Listen, OANN is doing a great job. Newsmax, there's some snakes on Newsmax. You got to watch that. You got to watch that John Bachman. That son of a bitch, don't trust that guy, okay? He's not on our side. Watch out for that Bachman character. I don't particularly care for Spicer and company either. Not particularly great programming. More about self-aggrandizement than it is about what's really going on. And also, Pinion. Watch him. Watch Pinion. Don't trust that guy. I don't trust him. But there's a lot of good people. Salcedo's good. Greg Kelly's great. Stenfield is good. Howie Carr's wonderfully irreverent radio guy. I love Howie Carr. So there's many, many good shows on Newsmax. But there's a couple of snakes on there, so watch out for that. Also, you got Right Side Broadcasting Network, now being backed by the MyPillow guy. That's great, because they're going to have money now to operate, because they were 100% viewer donations. And now they're starting to get sponsors. This is good stuff, you guys. We got a chance. I don't know if it's too little, too late. But I hope we got it. You know? I hope we got a chance. So there is places. Now, of course, you all know, if you really want to get interesting commentary, that's usually about 80 to 85% correct. You go to Infowars.com, you go to band.video, you go 79 days. I forget what that one is, but if you just go to band.video, everything's up there. Many good guests on all the Infowars shows. You know, Alex's show and Owen Schroyer's show. I don't particularly listen to David Knight too much. David Knight is almost, to me, he's almost sophomoric in his approach to politics. Now, I love David Knight, and I think he's right about a lot of stuff. But he's wrong about Donald Trump, and he's wrong about his approach, his typical libertarian hypocrite. And why do I say that? Well, because he's so rigid in his libertarianism, he doesn't even know he's not being very libertarian because of it, if that makes any sense to you. But anyway, if you listen tonight, you're going to see that you probably agree with me. But yet, I still listen to his show sometimes because he has good guests. He says some good things on there. He's very, very bright individual. I think he has a sophomoric approach to our current situation. That's my opinion. Take it or leave it. And that's what this show is about. It's about my opinion, and it's about me trying to bring historic context to current events. I don't claim to be a news guy. I don't ever want to be a news guy. I don't want to be a politician. You guys know that. You've listened to my radio show for years, many of you. So you know I bring guests on. I haven't had time to be a producer lately. So you're stuck with me for the majority of the hour and a half broadcast. But we'll start getting guests on, and I won't be so in your face. I'll let somebody else be in your face along with me. But keep the faith, because one way or the other, we're going to fight for this republic. And like Alex says, I don't know where we're going to be at the end of this, but if you want to fight, you better believe you got one. Because I don't know anybody that's going to stand for this stuff. And I don't know any Democrat that's happy with the Pyrrhic. Quote, if they get a victory, they know it'll be a Pyrrhic victory. P-H-R-Y. I can't even spell Pyrrhic. But it refers to that victory that does you more harm than good back in, the third or second century? Anyway, it's part of history I'm not that familiar with because it's not... recent Western civilization in the last millennium. But anyway, a Pyrrhic victory is not good. It means you'd be better off not winning that way. That's, if you didn't know what that means, it means that because of a historical battle, I think in 200 to 300 AD, where the win was so expensive, they'd be better off not winning. And that's what I mean. That's where I know the Democrats are at. If they get a victory, and that's a big if at this point because there's so much fraud, it can't be ignored. I hope the Supreme Court does the right thing and disallows the slates of electors from the states in question. And then the Congress, or not the Congress, but the House of Representatives picks the president. One vote, one state. Donald J. Trump, president till 2025, if that happens. I say it's 80-20, so keep the faith. It better be that, or we're in big trouble. Because the other alternatives are way worse than that. All of them are way worse than what I just said. Even though if that happens, it's not going to be good. Keep the mask off your face. Unless you absolutely have to have it on to keep your job or whatever. Hug your friends and your... Hug everybody. Don't listen to BS. The COVID's not as bad as they say it is. It's not killing anybody except really old people and people with 3-4 comorbidities. They say the hospitals are full. Don't believe them. Go down there yourself. Check it out. They're still like a ghost town in most cases. Oh, where's all the figures for all the other morbidities? Can't find them all of a sudden. And also, you know what? The death rate is a little lower than it should be for 2020 if there was no pandemic. Things that make you go, right? Yeah, exactly. So, it's really, here's what I think about the Democrats. Yeah. Because I believe they are not going to be very happy in the next few weeks. But I'll tell you what, I've been sleeping well. But breaking news from Sydney. Court tosses out 200,349 absentee ballots. Trump handed Pennsylvania. Really? The dominoes begin to fall. If that's true, if that's a true report, Robert, the dominoes are starting to fall, folks. Thanks for the breaking news. Anyway, thanks for your patience and watching and listening to the show and all your wonderful chat tonight, you guys. You're all great. I absolutely love each and every one of you. I will be back next week with another version. Another edition of Article 5 Live here on all these channels, all my Facebook channels and YouTube and Periscope and Twitch and LinkedIn and a couple other places I can't even remember right now. I love you all. God bless America. God bless Donald J. Trump. May God continue to bless you and your family and protect our great president. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you're getting your Christmas shopping done. I hope you're having a good time in spite of all the crap. Love your family and love your neighbor as yourself. We're going to get through this, you guys. America's a great republic. And we're going to fight for her in spite of all the evil. Keep the faith. I love you. I'll be back next week with the best 90 minutes in digital media. Until then. God bless. I'm signing off.